Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the free zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Voice of the American Redoubt. This is Radio Free Redoubt. And this is episode 21-33 on this 24th of October already. Man, November's coming up. Just in another week. So very fast. Time is going so fast. So hey, you know, I just found this little cool scripture this morning. I was doing my Bible study. Ephesians 5, chapter 5, 15 through 17. And I pinned it up on my desk just above my computer. I was just looking at it and I thought, hey, this is pretty cool because, you know, talking about how fast the time is going. It's, oh my goodness, it's already November and or coming up. So Ephesians 5, 15 through 17 says, "See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So I thought, man, this, how appropriate for a season when it seems like the time's just really flying. Redeem the time. Okay, now, let's see. I've got a few things I'm going to cover this evening. I'm going to go over the letter from General Chehaoshin from China that he gave in, I think, what, 2003 or 2005. Maybe he gave it in 2003, gave the speech. It was a strategic speech for their military plan for expanding China's influence around the world, and including colonizing the United States, Canada, and Australia for their survival. Well, I've had some listeners say, where is that again? What was that source? What was the name of that speech? Or what was the name of that general? Or where is that posted? Well, you know, went and looked. I was actually surprised. I don't have that posted. So I'm going to do that and post that at radiofreeredoubt.com with a link for you guys to, well, you'll be able to, I'll embed the PDF so you can read it on the website, but then you'll also be able to download it, share that with your friends, or share the link with your friends. So I'm going to cover that tonight, segment 4, of course, with Lady Liberty. So I better get right to it because there are some things in the news and commentary. More, I could do a two-hour show just the first hour, just covering all of the current events and news and commentary. But, well, that's why we have a daily show, The Morning Commute with JJS and Lady Liberty. And even though that's only a half-hour show, we cram as much into it as we can to stay on top of this stuff as fast as it's developing. So, right to it. This segment, news and commentary, is brought to you by Glenn Tate and Shelby Gallagher over there, Prepping 2.0. The podcast to help take your preps to the next level, hence Prepping 2.0. And the website is prepping2-0.com. And that's where you'll be able to find both Glenn's book series, 299 Days, and Shelby Gallagher's books, A Great State, that three-book series there. All right. First of all, very, very interesting here. Remember, when the 44th president was in office and we're all, you know, the president who shall not be named was the president of the United States, or at least he was occupying the White House. We were saying, Putin for president. How we wish we had Putin for president of the United States, because Putin, we might disagree with him philosophically, might be a little distrustful because of his communist ties, but that is a man who loves his country, who places his country and his interests first, and who will never attempt to erase his history, even though it was communist, Soviet Union. And that's part of that country and who they are. Interesting. Putin slams the U.S. for deleting its history. Thank you. We've been doing that too. Calls transgenderism a crime against humanity. Can I get an amen? Somebody needs to call the he, she, they, them, it, that, thing, creature, woke police and report Vladimir. Can't believe the stuff he's saying. I love it. Russia's Vladimir Putin is in violation. This was from the town hall. He gave a speech earlier this week, or last week, calling out the United States and other Western nations for their progressive ideology, particularly drawing attention to the issue of gender identity. Thank you. There is an adult in the room. I said during his Thursday speech in Sochi, Sochi, I can't remember how to pronounce that, and that Russia should hold on to its spiritual values and historical traditions. He added that sociocultural disturbances could be detrimental to the country. Of course he knows that. When he was with the KGB, one of the aims was to strike the United States right in the middle of their morality. So, yeah, he understands the importance of that. That's how you take a country down. Western nations in Europe and the United States, Putin warned, have allowed the aggressive deletion of whole pages of their own history, reverse discrimination against the majority, and the interests of minorities constitute a movement toward public renewal. Yeah, that's called a revolution. And he says it's their right to do so, but steer clear of our home. Good. Smart. And, of course, you know, he upholds the family. And then he talks about transgenderism. Very astute. Actually, it's common sense, but nobody's using that these days. So it's rare when you see it. It seems so astute when you just see common sense. Quote, there are some monstrous things when from a very young age you teach to children that a boy can easily become a girl, and you impose on them this selection, this choice. Putin said, you push the parents aside and make the child take these decisions that can destroy their lives. Thank you for saying that. Putin for president. Yeah. Okay, so keep an eye on these sneaky buggers portion of the news now. Facebook is planning to rebrand the company with a new name. Now, they're not saying what the name is. They're keeping it tight-lipped, apparently. But Mark Zuckerberg wants to be known for building the, get this, Metaverse. M-E-T-A, Metaverse. He wants to build the Metaverse. He's planning to change his company name next week to reflect its focus on building the Metaverse, according to a source with direct knowledge on the matter. Now, this is coming at us from The Verge, which they keep up on techie developments and stuff. So, apparently at this company's annual Connect conference on October 28th, they could even unveil it sooner, but let me just focus on Facebook already has more than 10,000 employees building consumer hardware like AR glasses that Zuckerberg believes will eventually be as ubiquitous as smartphones. In July, he told The Verge that over the next several years, we will effectively transition from people seeing us as primarily being a social media company to being a metaverse company. So what does that mean? Well, they are going to be placing heavy emphasis on artificial intelligence. They want to break away from that, kind of like what Google did with Alphabet. They didn't want to just be a search engine. They wanted to be that and so much more, which, you know, they've accomplished. Well, that's what Zuckerberg wants to do with Facebook. We're not just a social media chat
thing anymore.
This is meant to signal the tech giant's ambition to be known for more than a social media and all the ills that that entail. The rebrand would likely position the blue Facebook app as one of many products under a parent company overseeing groups like Instagram, WhatsApp, Oculus, and more. And so, yeah, they're placing a lot of emphasis on artificial intelligence, apparently. From the NOC report, if you take the COVID vax, you can never achieve full immunity again. Government stats unveil the horrifying truth. So this is over at the NOC report, N-O-Q, NOC report. The British government has spilled the beans about the fact that, once again, once you get vaccinated, quote unquote, for the Wuhan coronavirus or COVID-19, you will never again be able to acquire full natural immunity. That's right, because it does the opposite, like so many virologists and doctors have been testifying. But, of course, they suppress them. Well, it's coming out now in official government research and studies and reports. This out of the UK. They always have the long way around learning lessons the hard way, don't they? And then we watch them smack their hand with a hammer. And then we say, can I borrow that hammer? And then we smash our own hands with the hammer instead of learning from their dumb lessons like disarming, like the Islamic invasion and embracing their invaders. And, you know, things like that. In its week 42 COVID-19 vaccine surveillance report, the UK Health Security Agency admitted on page 23 that, quote, N, as in November, N, antibody levels appear to be lower in people who acquire infection following two doses of vaccination, close quote. You think? So what does this mean? Several things. All bad, writes Alex Berenson. He says, we know the vaccines do not stop infection or transmission of the virus. In fact, the report shows elsewhere that the vaccinated adults are now being infected at much higher rates than the unvaccinated, close quote. Yes, that's what they've been screaming from the rooftops telling you. That's what we've been screaming from the rooftops trying to relay that information. The slipstream media, mass murderers, are burying. Quote, what the British are saying is that they are now finding the vaccine interferes with your body's innate ability after infection to produce antibodies against not just the spike protein, but other pieces of the virus. No, this is not accurate. They are not just now discovering this. They've known this all along. Virologists, Nobel Peace Prize-winning virologists that broke through the research for AIDS, HIV, have testified on this Wuhan virus and this so-called vaccine and the dangers of it. They're not just now discovering this. It's just the evidence is so blatant now, they cannot any longer ignore it. They have to confront it and at least answer for it, because they can't hide it anymore. Well, specifically, vaccinated people don't seem to be producing antibodies to the nucleocapsid protein, the shell of the virus, which are a crucial part of the response in unvaccinated people. Yeah, blah, 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 blah. We've heard this a billion times from experts. They're just now discovering it. In the long term, people who take an Operation Warp Speed jab, oh, here we go, let's blame Trump, will be far more vulnerable to any mutations in the spike protein that might come along, even if they have already been infected and recovered once or more than once. This is not the Operation Warp Speed jab. This is all of these emergency use authorization, non-FDA approved jabs that are out there. The unvaccinated, meanwhile, will procure lasting, if not permanent, immunity to all strains of the alleged virus after being infected with it naturally, even just once. Thank God Lady Liberty and I both got the full-blown punch you right in the face and put you down on the ground version of the Wuhan virus. Took 3 weeks of our lives, and guess what? We're stronger for it. we're not going to be weakened by the people like people that are getting the vaccination. And now listen to this. So it will procure the unvaccinated. That's me and Lady Liberty and others in our family now that we're learning and who get Wuhan coronavirus will procure a lasting, if not permanent, immunity to all strains of the alleged virus after being infected with it naturally, even just once. Thank the Lord. He built our bodies. Amazing. From Todd Starnes, nearly 200 California college Republicans showed up for a rally to defend In-N-Out Burger, one of the most popular hamburger chains in the country. And I didn't know they were Christian-owned either. But until this week, In-N-Out is facing the wrath of Democrats after they refused to comply with the vaccine paper mandates. The family-owned company rejected government demands. The restaurant workers checked to see if customers had vaccination papers. Good job. That would make me, if I didn't have to enter into California, that would make me want to go there just to buy a hamburger and support them. Because they're, well, their reputation for the best burgers in the world. You know what, In-N-Out, you guys need to expand. You need to come to Idaho and start putting in In-N-Out burgers all over there, all over the American redoubt. How's that? Anyway, good job. The Republicans, the California College Republicans, good for you. Steve Bannon, of course, they're trying to hold him for contempt of Congress. Here's some Republicans to put on your list. These are sellouts. These are not Americans. They have a R behind their names. But these are the five so-called Republicans. They're imposter Republicans who voted yes on Steve Bannon's contempt charge, trying to link him to President Trump and this high-level planning of this uprising on January 6th. And he's like, no, it's presidential privilege. He does not have to give this information up. And that's what Trump's lawyer said. So who the Democrats on this committee chose to file contempt of Congress charges against Steve Bannon and these five so-called Republicans, really they're imposters. They're not Americans. Liz Cheney. She's from Wyoming. Adam Kinzinger, Anthony Gonzalez, Peter Major, I believe that's how it's spelled, is M-E-I-J-E-R, and I think it's Peter Major, and Mike Simpson. Mike Simpson. The contempt resolution argues that Bannon has no legal standing in to defy the subpoena, but Trump's attorney argued that Bannon shouldn't comply because the request of information is protected by the former president's executive privilege. There you go. Bam. Like I just said. So, man, prayers out to Steve Bannon. And you know what? Put those five non-American so-called Republicans on your prayer list as well. They need to repent and get themselves squared away. Or just resign if you're not going to uphold the Republican platform, and you're going to help support those that are continuing to reinforce this communist coup. They don't need to be in there. From Redoubt News, gas is soaring to $7.59 a gallon in California, in one California town. And I believe that was Irvine. But anyway, as prices hit multi-year highs nationwide, also from Breitbart, just got this from Redoubt News. Halloween is a week away, and you and your family. No, this remember this is from the Anti-Defamation League, the ADL, right? Leftist weirdos. But Breitbart picked this up, and then Redoubt News picked it up from them. Halloween is a week away, and you and your family might be brainstorming costume ideas. Check out our resource for reminders about how and why to avoid cultural appropriation, cultural stereotypes, and costumes that perpetuate gender norms. Costumes that perpetuate gender norms. You know, I mean, we don't do the Halloween thing. I mean, I like to think of the fall festival, right? But this makes you just want to go to a costume party and dress up like, I don't know, like a Lady Liberty and I like a caveman and Mrs. Caveman. Or I can just like walk around the party dragging her by her hair, something like that. And just send the picture into to the ADL. How's this for a costume for perpetuating gender norms? I don't know. Maybe a Scotsman with my kilt. Oh, that's gender appropriation. I'd be wearing a kilt. But if I wore a sword, that would go back to reinforcing my chauvinism. My misogyny. If I had a sword and a kilt and she wore a dress, Scottish classic, that would be great. We'll have to work on that. All right, so from Rhino Hunters of the Inland Northwest, Chinese hypersonic missile circles the globe. This is spooky because, you know what, the Pentagon is claiming that they're stunned by this. They never saw it coming. They are completely taken aback. They did not realize that China has this type of technology. They tried covering it by saying, oh, they're off by like 25 miles. How do you know? And besides that, can you still be off by 25 miles and set off an EMP over the middle of the United States? I think 25 miles is enough wiggle room to do some damage if you send off an EMP over each coast. Yeah, so unfortunately, also from Rhino Hunters of the Inland Northwest, Stark Raving Mad Page, Idaho begins importing Afghan Muslims. The Boise chapter of the International Rescue Committee, or IRC, has excitedly announced it will soon welcome the first of many Afghan Muslim refugees to Boise. More are scheduled to be resettled in Twin Falls, and it's likely that other locations will soon follow. Well, start teaching your girls to go everywhere armed, because the rapes are going to commence. If you want to look at Europe and how this little refugee resettlement model worked for them, well, then we can predict with a high degree of accuracy what we can look forward to here in what used to be the United States of America. But, oh, wait, got ahead of myself. Biden refugee rapes a Montana girl. That's right, in Missoula. Zabadizula Muhammad, an Afghan Islamist refugee recently transported to Montana by the Biden junta, raped a local Montana teenager last weekend. She was taken to the Marriott Hotel in downtown Missoula by the observant Muslim, where she was held down, choked, and raped while a couple of the guy's buddies watched. Well, police were called. Zabadizula was arrested. The young girl taken to a local hospital where she's undergoing treatment. Well, check out Zabadizula's lawyer says he argues that Islamic culture played a major role in the rape. The Muslim holy book, the Quran, teaches that infidel females, regardless of age, may be used for the sexual gratification of the observant, which is the devout Muslim, right? It's not clear who provided Zabadizula's lawyer, but they do have a pretty prominent Islamic community there in Missoula, leftist college there. So teach your daughters how to defend themselves, patriots. And, you know, this lawyer is right. This Islamic culture did play a major role in the rape. That's why they don't belong here. How's that? All right. We'll be right back with this, with more to follow, and with General Che Haotian's speech. I don't know if I'll get through all of it or not, but I want to definitely be able to share enough with you that it'll make you want to go and read all of the rest. Don't forget, America's Frontline Doctors and the hydroxychloroquine, ivermectin, and all that stuff that you can get through telehealth conferencing. That is posted on RadioFreeRedoubt.com, and it's the COVID resources that we mentioned on the show on September 27th through the 29th on the morning commute. Go check that out. And there's links there that will take you to the America's Frontline Doctors. And then also there's additional links. If you look in the comments, there are additional resources that listeners and myself have posted there. So check those out. All right, guys. God bless all of you. And stand by. 72 coming up right after this.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder. Select your preferred carry style and order your holster today.
Oh, I would never suggest this, but I will tell you, they're so lucky that we're peaceful. Law enforcement, military, construction workers, bikers for Trump. How about bikers for Trump? But these are tough people. These are great people, but they're peaceful people. And Antifa and all, they better hope they stay that way. I hope they stay that way.
Proud
Boys, stand back and stand by. But I'll tell you what. Somebody's got to do something about Antifa and the left.
All right, welcome back from the break, guys. This segment is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping folks just like you get strategically relocated out of the occupied zones into Patriot Hill territory. And they specifically help folks in the northern part of the panhandle of Idaho, specifically Bonner, the northern Bonner and Boundary counties. Great folks. Check them out at SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. Okay, now I want to share something with you that several folks have been asking me about, and that is this secret speech of General Chi Haoshin. So I'm going to take you to J.R. Nyquist's blog. He's the one that had first helped really get this spread out widely. And so a lot of folks have just kind of reposted his stuff. Now, I do have the PDF of it. I can't remember where I got it from, but I have that. That's what I'm going to post up on Radio Free Redoubt. Because we've talked about this, I don't know, a year or 2 years ago when we first started discussing this. Lady Liberty and I have talked about it at length over, I don't know, the last year and a half. So I'm going to share with this. He posted this on September 11th, 2019, over at J.R. Nyquist blog. I'll link it in the posting that I'm going to put up at Radio Free Redoubt. In 2005, the Epoch Times acquired a secret speech given by Defense Minister Chi Haoshin to high-level Communist Party cadres sometime before his retirement in 2003. Details given in Chi's speech coincide with previously unpublished defector testimony on Sino-Russian military plans. So the speech is as follows, but let me break right there. There's also a work that was done by a couple of Chinese lieutenant colonels or colonels, I believe it was in the 90s, and it is called Unrestricted Warfare. And I'm going to try to dig that back up and include that in this link so you start to get an idea of how the Chinese people are thinking. And we're not prepared for it, my friends, at all. And we have communist-backed coup supported by the Chinese, puppets of the Chinese, puppet regime of the Chinese, who helped put them there, that are working to destroy our country on the inside, while these guys are getting ready to come in from the outside. So, here is the speech. Comrades, I am very excited today because the large-scale online survey, CINA.com, that was done for us showed that our next generation is quite promising and our party's cause will be carried on. in answering the question, will you shoot at women, children, and prisoners of war? More than 80% of the respondents answered in the affirmative, exceeding by far our expectations. Today, I'd like to focus on why we asked CNED.com to conduct this online survey among our people. My speech today is a sequel to my speech last time, during which I started with a discussion of the issue of the three islands, where I mentioned that 20 years of the idyllic theme of peace and development had come to an end, and concluded that modernization under the Sabre is the only option for China's next phase. I also mentioned we have a vital stake overseas. Today, I'll speak more specifically on these two issues. The central issue of this survey appears to be whether one should shoot at women, children, and prisoners of war. But its real significance goes far beyond that. Ostensibly, our intention is mainly to figure out what the Chinese people's attitude toward war is. If these future soldiers do not hesitate to kill even non-combatants, they'll naturally be doubly ready and ruthless in killing combatants. Therefore, the response to the survey questions may reflect the general attitude people have toward war. Actually, however, this is not our genuine intention. The purpose of the CCP, Central Committee, in conducting this survey is to probe people's minds. We wanted to know if China's global development will necessitate massive deaths in enemy countries, will our people endorse that scenario? Will they be for or against it? As everybody knows, the essence of Comrade Jinping's thinking is development is the hard truth. And Comrade Jintao has also pointed out repeatedly and emphatically that, quote, development is our top priority, close quote, which should not be neglected for even a moment. But many comrades tend to understand, quote, development, close quote, in its narrow sense, assuming it to be limited to domestic development. The fact is, our development refers to the great revitalization of the Chinese nation, which, of course, is not limited to the land we have now, but also includes the whole world. Why do I put it this way? Both Comrade Liu Heqing, one of the leaders of the old generation in our party, and Comrade He Xin, a young strategist of our party, have repeatedly stressed the theory regarding the shift of the center of world civilization. Our slogan of revitalizing China has this way of thinking as its basis. You may look into the newspapers and magazines published in recent years or go online to do some research to find out who raised the slogan of national revitalization first. It was Comrade He Xin. Do you know who He Xin is? He may look aggressive and despicable when he speaks in public with his sleeves and pants all rolled up, but his historical vision is a treasure our party should cherish. In discussing this issue, let us start from the beginning. As everybody knows, according to the views propagated by Western scholars, humanity as a whole originated from one single mother in Africa. Therefore, no race can claim racial superiority. However, according to the research conducted by most Chinese scholars, the Chinese are different from other races on Earth. We did not originate in Africa. Instead, we originated independently in the land of China. The Peking man at Zhukudian that we are all familiar with represents a phase of our ancestors' evolution. The project of searching for the origins of Chinese civilization currently undertaken in our country is aimed at a more comprehensive and systematic research on the origin, process, and development of the ancient Chinese civilization. We used to say Chinese civilization has had a history of 5,000 years. But now, many experts engaged in research in varied fields, including archaeology, ethnic cultures, and regional cultures, have reached consensus that the new discoveries, such as the Hongshan culture in the northeast, the Langgan culture in Zhejiang province, the Jinsha ruins in Sichuan province, and the Yangzhou Shun Emperor culture site in Hunan province are all compelling evidence of the existence of China's early civilizations. And they prove that China's rice-growing agriculture history alone can be traced back as far as 8,000 to 10,000 years. This refutes the concept of 5,000 years of Chinese civilization. Therefore, we can assert that we are the product of cultural roots of more than a million years and a single Chinese entity of 2,000 years. This is the Chinese entity of 2,000 years. This is the Chinese nation that calls itself descendants of Yan and Huang. The Chinese nation that we are so proud of. Hitler's Germany had once bragged that the German race was the most superior race on earth, but the fact is, our nation is far superior to the Germans. During our long history, our people have disseminated throughout the Americas and the regions along the Pacific Rim, and they became Indians in the Americas and the East Asian ethnic groups in the South Pacific. We all know that on account of our national superiority, during the thriving and prosperous Tang Dynasty, our civilization was at the peak of the world. We were the center of the world civilization, and no other civilization in the world was comparable to ours. Later on, because of our complacency, narrow-mindedness, and the self-enclosure of our own country, we were surpassed by Western civilization, and the center of the world shifted to the West. In reviewing history, one may ask, will the center of the world civilization shift back to China? Comrade He Jin put it in his report to the Central Committee in 1988. If the fact is that the center of leadership of the world was located in Europe as the 18th century and later shifted to the United States in the mid-20th century, the center of leadership of the world will shift to the east of our planet. And the east, of course, mainly refers to China. Actually, Comrade Louis Huiqing made similar points in the 1980s. Based on an historical analysis, he pointed out that the center of the world civilization is shifting. It shifted from the east to the Western Europe and later to the United States. Now it is shifting back to the east. Therefore, if we refer to the 19th century as the British century and the 20th century as the American century, then the 21st century will be the Chinese century. To understand conscientiously this historical law and to greet the advent of the Chinese century is the historical mission of our party. As we all know, at the end of the last century, we built the altar to the Chinese century in Beijing. At the very moment of the arrival of the new millennium, the collective leadership of the party's Central Committee gathered there for a rally, upholding the torches of Zhukudian to pledge themselves to get ready to greet the arrival of the Chinese century. We were doing this to follow the historical law and setting the realization of the Chinese century as the goal of our party's endeavors. Later, in the political report of our party's 16th National Congress, we established that national revitalization should be our great objectives and explicitly specified in our new party constitution that our party is the prisoner of the Chinese people. All these steps marked a major development in Marxism, reflecting our party's courage and wisdom. As we all know, Marx and his followers have never referred to any Communist Party as a prisoner of a certain people. Neither did they say that the national revitalization could be used as a slogan of a Communist Party. Even Comrade Mao Zedong, a courageous national hero, only raised high the banner of the global proletarian revolution. But even if he did not have the courage to give the loudest publicity to the slogan of national revitalization, we must greet the arrival of the Chinese century by raising high the banner of national revitalization. How should we fight for the realization of the Chinese century? We must borrow the precious experiences in human history by taking advantage of the outstanding fruition of human civilization and drawing lessons from what happened to other ethnic groups. The lessons include the collapse of communism in the former Soviet Union and Eastern Europe, as well as the defeats of Germany and Japan in the past. Recently, there has been much discussion of the lessons of the collapse of communism in the former Soviet Union and Eastern European countries, so I will not dwell on them here. Today, I'd like to talk about the lessons of Germany and Japan. Okay, so I'm going to stop reading his speech there and pick up in the next segment. I am reading a speech that was given by General Chihaoshin. He's a retired general, but very, very influential in the Chinese Communist Party in forging the vision of the future and the direction and choosing the strategy of how to achieve their goals of global domination, including colonization. In this next part coming up in his speech, he discusses why the Nazi Germany failed, because they weren't ruthless enough, which is why China sees itself as succeeding in the future where Nazi Germany failed. They're comparing themselves to Nazi Germany and saying the reason why the Nazis failed is because they were not ruthless enough. They, well, anyway, I'll share this with you. So this is where it starts getting good. So thanks for sticking with me. Stay right there. We'll be right back with more.
Hi everyone, this is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
All right, welcome back from the break. This is segment three now we're going into. But the second part of, it's going to end up being three parts. I talked to Lady Liberty and I'm going to have to break this down into three different segments so I can make sure that I cover it all. Well, by the way, this segment is brought to you by Strategic Landscape Design. Designs to help keep you safe and to help you thrive on your property to get the most out of water procurement, water production, food production, defensibility, laying out your property in the most strategic way to meet your needs as a prepper-minded person who's trying to lay out your property the most efficient, most effective, productive, and defensible way that you can do with a piece of property. And a lot of folks just this is not something that comes second nature to them. It's something that you might just need an expert's help, some consulting, or even if you're just looking at two different pieces of property to find out which one would of these two would help meet my goals. So that's what they do, is Strategic Landscape Design. So that's the website as well, strategiclandscapedesign.com. Okay, so I'm going to continue reading, and what I am reading, the reason why I wanted to read this to you is so that you have kind of the audiobook effect of this. So many of you are unable to, you know, go and look up things on the internet and read things and you know, take the time to do that. But a lot of you are driving down the road and you can listen. So I wanted as many American patriots to have this information as possible. I'm going to put up a posting where you can read this for those of you who do like to read and take the time to read. It's fairly lengthy, and also to print out a copy so you have your own so that you can, you know, have it for your own archives, and then pass along the link to Radio Free Redoubt or, you know, this PDF to other folks. So I'm going to continue on, and I just want to share a little bit. I'm on AmericanPartisan.org right now, which is the American Partisan. I like the work that they do over there. And NC Scout does some great stuff. You know, I've always liked his work, and just a good guy. He does some good stuff over there. So also, and they've got the, you know, Radio Contra podcast as well, covering a lot of these issues that we talk about as well. So he has a copy of this posted, and so I'm reading the intro that he has there. And once again, this is AmericanPartisan.org, and he kind of did the intro to this speech, and this is what it says. Qi Haoxian was the defense minister of China from 1993 to 2003. He was also vice chairman of the Chinese Communist Party's Central Military Commission. He delivered the following speech to a select group of high-level party cadres. As explained in General Qi's speech, the Chinese Communist Party's intention is to militarily defeat, occupy, and colonize the United States. This plan has been confirmed by a Russian defector, a source who worked in China and had information about a joint Sino-Russia plan to invade North America. This plan was drawn up in 1992, after the fall of the Soviet Union. The division of spoils was described thus. Russia would get Alaska and parts of Canada. China would get the lower 48 states, with other countries invited in for looting rights, quote unquote. The speech was translated into English and first published by the Epoch Times in 2005. So, going back to where we left off. And where we left off in the last segment is where he said, I'd like to talk about the lessons of Germany and Japan. As we all know, Nazi Germany also placed much emphasis on the education of the people, especially the younger generation. The Nazi Party and government organized and established various propaganda and educational institutions, such as the Guiding Bureau of National Propaganda, the Department of National Education and Propaganda, Supervising Bureau of Worldview Study and Education, and Information Office, all aimed at instilling into the people's minds, from elementary schools to colleges, the idea that German people are superior, and convincing people that the historical mission of the Aryan people is to become the lords of the earth, whose right it is to rule over the world. Back then, the German people were much more united than we are today. Nonetheless, Germany was defeated in utter shame, along with its ally, Japan. Why? We reached some conclusions at the study meetings of the Politburo, in which we were searching for the laws that governed the vicissitudes of the big powers and trying to analyze Germany and Japan's rapid growth. When we decide to revitalize based on the German model, we must not repeat the mistakes they made. Specifically, the following are the fundamental causes for their defeat. First, they had too many enemies all at once, as they did not adhere to the principle of eliminating enemies one at a time. Second, they were too impetuous, lacking the patience and perseverance required for great accomplishments. Third, when the time came for them to be ruthless, they turned out to be too soft, therefore leaving troubles that resurfaced later on. Let's presume that back then, Germany and Japan had been able to keep the United States neutral and had fought a protracted war step by step on the Soviet front. If they had adopted this approach, gained some time to advance their research, eventually succeeded in obtaining the technology of nuclear weapons and missiles, and launched surprise attacks against the United States and the Soviet Union using them, then the United States and the Soviet Union would not have been able to defend themselves and would have had to surrender. Little Japan, in particular, made an egregious mistake in launching the sneak attack on Pearl Harbor. This attack did not hit the vital parts of the United States. Instead, it dragged the United States into the war, into the ranks of the grave diggers that eventually buried the German and Japanese fascists. Of course, if they had not made these three mistakes and won the war, history would have been written in a different fashion. If that had been the case, China would not be in our hands. Japan might have relocated their capital to China and ruled over China. Afterwards, China and the whole of Asia, under Japan's command, would have brought into full play the Oriental wisdom, conquered the West, ruled by Germany, and unified the whole world. This is irrelevant, of course. No more digressions. So, the fundamental reason for the defeats of Germany and Japan is that history did not arrange them to be the lords of the earth, for they are, after all, not the most superior race. Ostensibly, in comparison, today's China is alarmingly similar to Germany back then. Both of them regard themselves as the most superior races. Both of them have a history of being exploited by foreign powers and are therefore vindictive. Both of them have the tradition of worshiping their own authorities. Both of them feel that they have seriously insufficient living space. Both of them raise high the two banners of nationalism and socialism and label themselves as national socialism. Both of them worship one state, one party, one leader, and one doctrine. And yet, if we really are to make a comparison between Germany and China, then, as Comrade Zheng Zemin put it, Germany belongs to pediatrics. Too trivial to be compared. How large is Germany's population? How big is its territory? And how long is its history? We eliminated 8 million nationalist troops in only 3 years. How many enemies did Germany kill? They were in power for a transient period of little more than a dozen years before they perished, while we are still energetic after being around for more than 80 years. Our theory of the shifting center of civilization is, of course, more profound than Hitler's theory of the lords of the earth. Our civilization is profound and broad, which has determined that we are so much wiser than they were. Our Chinese people are wiser than the Germans because, fundamentally, our race is superior to theirs. As a result, we have a longer history, more people, and larger land area. On this basis, our ancestors left us with the two most essential heritages, which are atheism and great unity. It was Confucius, the founder of our Chinese culture, who gave us these heritages. This heritage determined that we have a stronger ability to survive than the West. That is why the Chinese race has been able to prosper for so long. We are destined not to be buried by either heaven or earth. No matter how severe the natural, man-made, and national disasters, this is our advantage. Take response to war as an example. The reason that the United States remains today is that it has never seen war on its mainland. Once its enemies aim at the mainland, these enemies would reach Washington before its Congress finishes debating and authorizes the president to declare war. But for us, we don't waste time on these trivial things. Comrade Deng Xiaoping once said, "The party's leadership is prompt in making decisions. Once a decision is made, it is immediately implemented. There's no wasting time on trivial things like in capitalist countries. This is our advantage. Our party's democratic centralism is built on the tradition of great unity. Although fascist Germany also stressed high-level centralism, they only focused on power of the top leader, but ignored the collective leadership of the central group. That's why Hitler was betrayed by many later in his life, which fundamentally depleted the Nazis of their war capacity. What makes us different from Germany is that we are complete atheists. While Germany was primarily a Catholic and Protestant country, Hitler was only half atheist. Although Hitler also believed that ordinary citizens had low intelligence and that leaders should therefore make decisions, and although German people worshipped Hitler back then, Germany did not have the tradition of worshipping sages on a broad basis. Our Chinese society has always worshipped sages, and that is because we don't worship any god. Once you worship a god, you can't worship a person at the same time, unless you recognize the person as the god's representative, like they do in Middle Eastern countries. On the other hand, once you recognize a person as a sage, of course you will want him to be your leader. This is the foundation of our democratic centralism. The bottom line is, only China is a reliable force in resisting the Western parliament-based democratic system. Hitler's dictatorship in Germany was perhaps but a momentary mistake in history. Maybe you have now come to understand why we recently decided to further promulgate atheism. If we let theology from the West into China and empty us from the inside, if we let all Chinese people listen to God and follow God, who will obediently listen to us and follow us? If the common people don't believe Comrade Hu Jintao is a qualified leader, question his authority, and want to monitor him, if the religious followers in our society question why we are leaving God in churches, can our party continue to rule China? Germany's dream to be the Lord of the Earth, quote unquote, failed because ultimately history did not bestow this great mission upon them. But the three lessons Germany learned from experience are what we ought to remember as we complete our historic mission and revitalize our race. The three lessons are: firmly grasp the country's living space, firmly grasp the party's control over the nation, and firmly grasp the general direction toward becoming the Lord of the Earth. Next, I'd like to address these three issues. The first issue is living space. This is the biggest focus of the revitalization of the Chinese race. In my last speech, I said that the fight over basic living resources, including land and ocean, is the source of the vast majority of wars in history. This may change in the information age, but not fundamentally. Our per capita resources are much less than those of Germany's back then. In addition, economic development in the last 20-plus years had a negative impact, and climates are rapidly changing for the worse. Our resources are in very short supply. The environment is severely polluted, especially that of soil, water, and air. Not only our ability to sustain and develop our race, but even its survival is gravely threatened, to a degree much greater than faced by Germany back then. Anybody who has been to Western countries knows that their living space is much better than ours. They have forests alongside the highways, while we hardly have any trees by our streets. Their sky is often blue with white clouds, while our sky is covered in a layer of dark haze. Their tap water is clean enough for drinking, while even our groundwater is so polluted that it can't be drunk without filtering. They have few people in the streets, and two or three people can occupy a small residential building. In contrast, our streets are always crawling with people, and several people have to share one room. Many years ago, there was a book titled Yellow Catastrophes. It said that due to our following the American style of consumption, our limited resources would not long support the population and society would collapse. Once our population reaches 1.3 billion, now our population has already exceeded this limit, and we are now relying on imports to sustain our nation. It's not that we haven't paid attention to this issue. The Ministry of Land Resources is specialized in this issue. But the term living space, Lebensraum, is too closely related to Nazi Germany. The reason we don't want to discuss this too openly is to avoid the West's association of us with Nazi Germany, which could, in turn, reinforce the view that China is a threat. Therefore, in our emphasis on He Jin's new theory, human rights are just living rights. We only talk about living, but not space. So, as to avoid using the term living space. From the perspective of history, the reason that China is faced with the issue of living space is because Western countries established colonies ahead of Eastern countries. Western countries established colonies all around the world, therefore giving themselves an advantage on the issue of living space. To solve this problem, we must lead the Chinese people outside of China so that they could develop outside of China. The second issue is our focus on the leadership capacity of the ruling party. We've done better on this than their party, although the Nazis spread their power to every aspect of the German national government. They did not stress their absolute leadership position like we have. They did not take the issue of managing the power of the party as first priority, which we have. When Comrade Mao Zedong summarized the three treasures of our party's victory in conquering the country, he considered the most important treasure to be developing the Chinese Communist Party, the CCP, and strengthening its leadership position. We have to focus on two points to fortify our leadership position and improve our leadership capacity. The first is to promote the three represents theory, stressing that our party is the pioneer of the Chinese race, in addition to being the pioneer of the proletariat. Many citizens say in private, "We never voted for you, the Communist Party, to represent us. How can you claim to be our representatives?" There's no need to worry about this issue. Comrade Mao Zedong said that if we could lead the Chinese people outside of China, resolving the lack of living space in China, the Chinese people will support us. At that time, we don't have to worry about the labels of totalitarianism or dictatorship. Whether we can forever represent the Chinese people depends on whether we can succeed in leading the Chinese people out of China. The second point, whether we can lead the Chinese people out of China, is the most important determinant of the CCP's leadership position. Why do I say this? Everyone knows that without the leadership of our party, China would not exist today. Therefore, our highest principle is to forever protect our party's leadership position. Before June 4th, we realized vaguely that as long as China's economy is developed, people would support and love the Communist Party. Therefore, we had to use several decades of peacetime to develop China's economy. No matter what isms, whether it is a white cat or a black cat, it is a good cat if it can develop China's economy. But at that time, We did not have mature ideas about how China would deal with international disputes after its economy becomes developed. Comrade Xi Jinping said that the main themes in the world were peace and development, but the June 4 riot gave our party a warning and gave us a lesson that is still fresh. The pressure of China's peaceful evolution makes us reconsider of these two main themes of our time. We see that neither of these two issues, peace and development, have been resolved. The Western oppositional forces always change the world according to their own visions. They want to change China and use peaceful evolution to overturn the leadership of our Communist Party. Therefore, if we only develop the economy, we still face the possibility of losing control. The June 4 riot almost succeeded in bringing a peaceful transition. If it were not for the fact that a large number of veteran comrades were still alive, and at a crucial moment they removed Zhao Ziyang and his followers, then we all would have been put in prison. After death, we would have been too ashamed to report to Marx. Although we have passed the test of June 4, after our group of senior comrades pass away, without our control, peaceful evolution may still come to China like it did to the former Soviet Union. In 1956, they suppressed the Hungarian incident and defeated the attacks by Tito's revisionists of Yugoslavia, but they could not withstand Gorbachev 30-some years later. Once these pioneering senior comrades died, the power of the Communist Party was taken away by peaceful evolution. After the June 4 riot was suppressed, we have been thinking about how to prevent China from peaceful evolution and how to maintain the Communist Party's leadership. We thought it over and over, but did not come up with any good ideas. If we do not have good ideas, China will inevitably change peacefully, and we will all become criminals in history. After some deep pondering, we finally come to this conclusion. Only by turning our developed national strength into the force of a first striking outward, only by leading people to go out, can we win forever the Chinese people's support and love for the Communist Party. Our party will then stand on invincible ground, and the Chinese people will have to depend on the Communist Party. They will forever follow the Communist Party with their hearts and minds, as was written in a couplet frequently seen in the countryside some years ago. Quote, "Listen to Chairman Mao, follow the Communist Party," close quote. Therefore, the June 4 riot made us realize that we must combine economic development with preparation for war and leading the people to go out. Therefore, since then, our national defense policy has taken a 180-degree turn, and we have since emphasized more and more combining peace and war. Our economic development is all about preparing for the needs of war. Publicly, we still emphasize economic development as our center, but in reality, economic development has war as its center. We have made a tremendous effort to construct the Great Wall Project to build up along our coastal land frontiers, as well as around large and medium-sized cities, a solid underground Great Wall that can withstand a nuclear war. We are also storing all necessary war materials. Therefore, we will not hesitate to fight a third world war so as to lead the people to go out and ensure the party's leadership position. In any event, we, the CCP, will never step down from the stage of history. We'd rather have the whole world, or even the entire globe, share life and death with us than step down from the stage of history. Isn't there a nuclear bondage theory? It means that since nuclear weapons have bound the security of the entire world, all will die together if death is inevitable. In my view, there is another kind of bondage, and that is, the fate of our party is tied up with that of the whole world. If we, the CCP, are finished, China will be finished, and the world will be finished. Our party's historical mission is to lead the Chinese people to go out. If we take the long view, we will see that history led us on this path. First, China's long history has resulted in the world's largest population, including Chinese in China as well as overseas. Second, once we open our doors, the profit-seeking Western capitalists will invest capital and technology in China to assist our development so that they can occupy the biggest market in the world. Third, our numerous overseas Chinese help us create the most favorable environment for the introduction of foreign capital, foreign technology, and advanced experience into China. Thus, it is guaranteed that our reform and open door policy will achieve tremendous success. Fourth, China's great economic expansion will inevitably lead to the shrinking of per capita living space for the Chinese people. And this will encourage China to turn outward in search for new living space. Fifth, China's great economic expansion will inevitably come with significant development in our military forces, creating conditions for our expansion overseas. Ever since Napoleon's time, the West has been alert for the possible awakening of the sleeping lion that is China. Now the sleeping lion is standing up and advancing into the world and has become unstoppable. What is the third issue we should clinch firmly in order to accomplish our historical mission of national renaissance? It is to hold firmly onto the big issue of America. Okay, I'm going to stop right there, and we're going to finish this up in segment four, because that's going to focus on what the Chinese Communist Party sees as the third and largest issue that they say they must clinch firmly, and that is the issue of America. Remember, they are talking about a nationwide long-term strategy of militarily colonizing outside of China as a necessity for their own survival, specifically with the target set on America. They are counting on the billions of people in China supporting the Communist Chinese Party because they're going to get a piece of America, literally. So stick around. Really important stuff. And I'm doing this because just recently I've had folks ask about the General Chi Haoshin speech, where they can find it. And it occurred to me that there are PDF documents we made available on the posting on Radio Free Redoubt, but there's no audio of it. So I'm doing this as kind of a audio book type of thing, because there have been so many people that have said they just don't have the time to sit and read something like this, but they do commute and they can listen to it while they're driving. And so that's why I'm doing this this way for this episode 21-33 on this 24th day, Sunday evening of October 2021. Okay, so stick around. We'll be back here in just a couple of minutes with the final segment four and the final segment of General Chi Haoshin's speech about the destiny of China and its national renaissance coming very soon.
Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses. Some of those that work forces are the same that burn crosses.
Abe Lincoln here. In 1773, patriots broke the chains of British tyranny by throwing tea into Boston Harbor. On that day, Americans began drinking coffee. We celebrate that event daily here at Minutemen Coffee. All men are created equal. Coffee is not. Minutemen Coffee is roasted to perfection in small batches. Bold, smooth, and never bitter. Shipped to you fresh daily. Whole bean, ground, or our patented pods. www.minutemencoffee.com.
How do communists gain control of non-communist governments. Let's take a look. By military occupation. By expelling non-communist officials. By the army appointing puppet officials. By obtaining military and police powers. Controlling the legislative procedures. By propaganda creating political and economic unrest. Controlling the courts. Terrorizing political and economic opponents. By obtaining government positions and secrets.
All right, welcome back to Radio Free Redoubt, segment four. And we are covering the speech from General Chi Haoshin, who gave the speech, it's kind of conflicting, 2003, 2005, to the Communist Chinese Party leadership, specifically their military leaders, helping to form their national vision and strategy for expanding China, how to be dominant in the world, and specifically world dominance. So I'm continuing on with this because and I'm going to finish this out. This whole thing is long, but I'm doing this. So those of you who do not have the time to go and read the PDF or go to a website and find this and read it in its entirety, but you do commute and you can listen to this. So I want to make this kind of like an audiobook type of feel so that you can at least get the information audibly and still be just as informed, because I think this is something that all patriots need to be aware of. This is very important because this is the third and probably the most important issue in their minds that they need to clinch firmly, and that is the big issue of America. America is an issue that they must deal with or remove as an issue. This segment is brought to you by U.S. Law Shield. U.S. Law Shield provides legal defense for self-defense. If you find yourself in a situation where you have to defend yourself, you're most likely going to find yourself in at least a civil lawsuit, if not a criminal type of legal situation. And they have lawyers that are ready to respond and come alongside you so you don't have to face that alone. And so it doesn't cost you tens of thousands of dollars to justify yourself. It's just $11 a month for our Radio Free Redoubt listeners and Amron members, and so you can't afford not to have it. So go to RadioFreeRedoubt.com, click on the U.S. Law Shield banner on the right-hand side of the page, just scroll down until you see it, and that's our affiliate link that'll make sure you get that discounted rate. So let's continue on. What is the third issue we should clinch firmly in order to accomplish our historical mission of national renaissance? It is to hold firmly onto the big issue of America. This appears to be shocking, but the logic is actually very simple. Comrade Haoshin put forward a very fundamental judgment that is very reasonable. He asserted in his report to the Party Central Committee, "The Renaissance of China is in fundamental conflict with the Western strategic interest, and therefore will inevitably be obstructed by the Western countries doing everything they can. So, only by breaking the blockade formed by the Western countries, headed by the United States, can China grow and move toward the world. Would the United States allow us to go out to gain new living space? First, if the United States is firm in blocking us, it is hard for us to do anything significant to Taiwan, Vietnam, India, or even Japan. So how much more living space can we get? Very trivial. Only countries like the United States, Canada, and Australia have the vast land to serve our need for mass colonization. Therefore, solving the quote-unquote issue of America is the key to solving all other issues. First, This makes it possible for us to have many people migrate there and even establish another China under the same leadership of the CCP. America was originally discovered by the ancestors of the yellow race, but Columbus gave credit to the white race. We, the descendants of the Chinese nation, are entitled to the possession of the land. It is said that the residents of the yellow race have a very low social status in the United States. We need to liberate them. Second, after solving the issue of America, the Western countries of Europe would bow to us, not to mention Taiwan, Japan, and other small countries. Therefore, solving the issue of America is the mission assigned to the CCP members by history. I sometimes think how cruel it is for China and the United States to be enemies that are bound to meet on a narrow road. Do you remember a movie about Liberation Army troops led by Liu Bocheng and Deng Xiaoping? The title is something like Decisive Battle on the Central Plains. There is a famous remark in the movie that is full of power and grandeur. The enemies are bound to meet on a narrow road. Only the brave will win. It is this kind of fighting to win or die spirit that enabled us to seize power in mainland China. It is historical destiny that China and the United States will come to unavoidable confrontation on a narrow path and fight each other. The United States, unlike Russia and Japan, has never occupied and hurt China, and also assisted China in its battle against the Japanese. But it will certainly be an obstruction, and the biggest obstruction. In the long run, the relationship of China and the United States is one of a life and death struggle. One time, some Americans came to visit and tried to convince us that the relationship between China and the United States is one of interdependence. Comrade Xiaoping replied in a polite manner, "Go tell your government, China and the United States do not have such a relationship that is interdependent and mutually reliant." Actually, Comrade Xiaoping was being too polite. He could have been more frank. Quote, "The relationship between China and the United States is one of life and death struggle," close quote. Of course, right now, it is not the time to openly break up with them yet. Our reform and opening to the outside world still rely on their capital and technology. We still need America. Therefore, we must do everything we can to promote our relationship with America, learn from America in all aspects, and use America as an example to reconstruct our country. How have we managed our foreign affairs in these years? Even if we had to put on a smiling face in order to please them, even if we had to give them the right cheek after they had hit us on our left cheek, we still must endure in order to further our relationship with the United States. Do you remember the character of Wuxun in the movie Story of Wuxun? In order to accomplish his mission, he endured so much pain and suffered so much beating and kicking. The United States is the most successful country in the world today. Only after we have learned all of its useful experiences can we replace it in the future. Even though we are presently imitating the American tone, China and the United States rely on each other and share honor and disgrace, we must not forget that the history of our civilization repeatedly has taught us that one mountain does not allow two tigers to live together. We also must never forget what Comrade Xiaoping emphasized, and that is, quote, "Refrain from revealing ambitions and put others off the track," close quote. The hidden message is we must put up with America. We must conceal our ultimate goals, hide our capabilities, and wait for the opportunity. In this way, our mind is clear. Why have we not updated our national anthem with something peaceful? Why did we not change the anthem's theme of war? Instead, when revising the Constitution at this time, for the first time, we clearly specified March of the Volunteers is our national anthem. Thus, we will understand why we constantly talk loudly about the Taiwan issue, but not the American issue. We all know the principle of doing one thing under the cover of another. If ordinary people can only see the small island of Taiwan in their eyes, then you, as the elite of our country, should be able to see the whole picture of our cause. Over these years, according to Comrade Xiaoping's arrangement, a large piece of our territory in the north has been given up to Russia. Do you really think our party committee is a fool? To resolve the issue of America, we must be able to transcend conventions and restrictions. In history, when a country defeated another country or occupied another country, it could not kill all the people in the conquered land because back then you could not kill people effectively with sabers or long spears, or even with rifles or machine guns. Therefore, it was impossible to gain a stretch of land without keeping the people on that land. However, if we conquered America in this fashion, we would not be able to make many people migrate there. Only by using special means to, quote-unquote, clean up America, will we be able to lead the Chinese people there. This is the only choice left for us. This is not a matter of whether we are willing to do it or not. What kind of special means is there available for us to clean up America? Conventional weapons such as fighters, cannons, missiles, and battleships won't do. Neither will highly destructive weapons such as nuclear weapons. We are not as foolish as to want to perish together with America by using nuclear weapons, despite the fact that we have been exclaiming that we will have the Taiwan issue resolved at whatever cost. Only by using non-destructive weapons that can kill many people will we be able to reserve America for ourselves. There has been rapid development of modern biological technology, and new bioweapons have been invented one after another. Of course, we have not been idle. In the past years, we have seized the opportunity to master weapons of this kind. We are capable of achieving our purpose of cleaning up America all of a sudden. When Comrade Xiaoping was still with us, the party central committee had the perspicacity to make the right decision not to develop aircraft carrier groups and focus instead on developing lethal weapons that can eliminate mass populations of the enemy country. From a humanitarian perspective, we should issue a warning to the American people and persuade them to leave America and leave the land they have lived in to the Chinese people. Or at least they should leave half of the United States to be China's colony, because America was first discovered by the Chinese. But would this work? If this strategy does not work, then there is only one choice left to us. That is, use decisive means to clean up America and reserve America for our use in a moment. Our historical experience has proved that as long as we make it happen, nobody in the world can do anything about us. Furthermore, if the United States, as the leader, is gone, then other enemies have to surrender to us. Biological weapons are unprecedented in their ruthlessness, but if the Americans do not die, then the Chinese have to die. If the Chinese people are strapped to the present land, a total societal collapse is bound to take place. According to the computation of the author of Yellow Peril, more than half of the Chinese will die, and that figure would be more than 800 million people. Just after the liberation, our yellow land supported nearly 500 million people, while today the official figure of the population is more than 1.3 billion. this yellow land has reached the limit of its capacity. One day, who knows how soon it will come, the great collapse will occur anytime, and more than half the population will have to go. We must prepare ourselves for two scenarios. If our biological weapons succeed in the surprise attack, the Chinese people will be able to keep their losses at a minimum in the fight against the United States. If, however, the attack fails and triggers a nuclear retaliation from the United States, China would perhaps suffer a catastrophe in which more than half its population would perish. That is why we need to be ready with air defense systems for our big and medium-sized cities. Whatever the case may be, we can only move forward fearlessly for the sake of our party and state and our nation's future, regardless of the hardships we have to face and the sacrifices we will have to make. The population, even if more than half dies, can be reproduced. But if the party falls, everything is gone and forever gone. In Chinese history, the replacement of dynasties, the ruthless have always won and the benevolent have always failed. The most typical example involved Zhang Yu, the king of Chu, who, after defeating Liu Bang, failed to continue to chase after him and eliminate his forces, and his leniency resulted in Zhang Yu's death and Liu's victory. Therefore, we must emphasize the importance of adopting resolute measures. In the future, the two rivals, China and the United States, will eventually meet each other in a narrow road, and our leniency to the Americans will mean cruelty toward the Chinese people. Here, some people may want to ask me, what about the several millions of our compatriots in the United States? They may ask, aren't we against Chinese killing other Chinese? These comrades are too pedantic. They are not pragmatic enough. If we had insisted on the principles that the Chinese should not kill other Chinese, would we have liberated China? As for the several million Chinese living in the United States, this is, of course, a big issue. Therefore, in recent years, we have been conducting research on genetic weapons. For example, those weapons that do not kill yellow people. But producing a result with this kind of research is extremely difficult. Of the research done on genetic weapons throughout the world, Israel is the most advanced. Their genetic weapons are designed to target Arabs and protect the Israelis. But even they have not reached the stage of actual deployment. We have cooperated with Israel on some research. Perhaps we can introduce some of the technologies used to protect Israelis and remold these technologies to protect the yellow people. But their technologies are not mature yet, and it is difficult for us to surpass them in a few years. If it has been 5 or 10 years before some breakthrough can be achieved in genetic weapons, we cannot afford to wait any longer. Old comrades like us cannot afford to wait that long, for we don't have that much time to live. Old soldiers of my age may be able to wait for 5 or 10 more years, but those from the period of the anti-Japanese war or the few old Red Army soldiers cannot wait any longer. Therefore, we have to give up our expectations about genetic weapons. Of course, from another perspective, the majority of those Chinese living in the United States have become our burden because they have been corrupted by the liberal values for a long time, and it would be difficult for them to accept our party's leadership. If they survived the war, we would have to launch campaigns in the future to deal with them, to reform them. Do you still remember that when we had just defeated the Kuomintang, the KMT, and liberated mainland China, so many people from the bourgeois class and intellectuals welcomed us so very warmly? But later, we had to launch campaigns such as the suppression of the reactionaries and anti-rightists movement to clean them up and reform them. Some of them were in hiding for a long time and were not exposed until the Cultural Revolution. History has proved that any social turmoil is likely to involve many deaths. Maybe we can put it this way. death is the engine that moves history forward. During the period of the Three Kingdoms, how many people died? When Genghis Khan conquered Eurasia, how many people died? When Manchu invaded the interior of China, how many people died? Not many people died during the 1911 revolution, but when we overthrew the Three Great Mountains and during the political campaigns such as suppression of the reactionaries, the three anti-campaign and five anti-campaign, at least 20 million people died. We were apprehensive that some young people today would be trembling with fear when they hear about wars and people dying. During wartime, we were used to seeing dead people. Blood and flesh were flying everywhere. Corpses were lying in heaps on the fields, and blood ran like rivers. We saw it all. On the battlefields, everybody's eyes turned red with killing because it was a life and death struggle, and only the brave would survive. It is indeed brutal to kill 1 or 200 million Americans, but that is the only path that will secure a Chinese century in which the CCP leads the world. We, as revolutionary humanitarians, do not want deaths, but if history confronts us with a choice between the deaths of Chinese and those of Americans, we'd have to pick the latter, as, for us, it is more important to safeguard the lives of the Chinese people and the life of our party. That is because, after all, we are Chinese and members of the CCP. Since the day we joined the CCP, the party life has always been above all else. History will prove that we made the right choice. Now, when I am about to finish my speech, you probably understand why we wanted to know whether the people would rise against us if one day we secretly adopt resolute means to clean up America. For over 30 years, China has been enjoying peace, and a whole generation has not been tested by war. In particular, since the end of the World War II, there have been many changes in the formats of war, the concept of war, and the ethics of war, especially since the collapse of the former Soviet Union and the Eastern European Communist states. The ideology of the West has come to dominate the world as a whole, and the Western theory of human nature and Western view of human rights have increasingly been disseminated among the young people in China. Therefore, we were not very sure about the people's attitude. If our people are fundamentally opposed to cleaning up America, we will, of course, have to adopt corresponding measures. Why didn't we conduct the survey through administrative means instead of through the web? We did what we did for a good reason. First of all, we did it to reduce artificial interference and to make sure that we got the true thoughts of the people. In addition, it is more confidential and won't reveal the true purpose of our survey. But what is most important is the fact that most of the people who are able to respond to the questions online are from social media groups that are relatively well-educated and intelligent. They are the hardcore and leading groups that play a decisive role among our people. If they support us, then the people as a whole will follow us. If they oppose us, they will play the dangerous role of inciting people and creating social disturbance. What turned out to be very comforting is they did not turn in a blank test paper. In fact, they turned in a test paper with a score of over 80. This is the excellent fruition of our party's work in propaganda and education over the past few decades. Of course, a few people under Western influence have objected to shooting at prisoners of war and women and children. Is everybody crazy? Some others said the Chinese love to label themselves as peace-loving people, but actually they are the most ruthless people. The comments are resonant of killing and murdering, sending chills to my heart. Although there are not too many people holding this kind of viewpoint, and they will not affect the overall situation in any significant way, but we will still need to strengthen the propaganda to respond to this kind of argument. That is to vigorously propagate Comrade He Xin's latest article, which has already been reported to the central government. You may look it up on the website. If you get on the website using keywords to search, you will find that a while ago, Comrade He Jin pointed out to the Hong Kong Business News during an interview that the U.S. has a shocking conspiracy. According to what he had in hand from September 27th through October 1st, 1995, the Mikhail Sergeyevich Gorbachev Foundation, funded by the United States, gathered 500 of the world's most important statesmen, economic leaders, and scientists, including George W. Bush. He was not the U.S. president at the time. The Baroness Thatcher, Tony Blair, Zbigniew Brzezinski, as well as George Soros, Bill Gates, futurist John Nisbet, etc., all of the world's most popular characters in the San Francisco Fairmont Hotel for a high-level roundtable conference, discussing problems about globalization and how to guide humanity to move forward into the 21st century. According to what He Jin had in hand, the outstanding people of the world in attendance thought that in the 21st century, a mere 20% of the world's population will be sufficient to maintain the world's economy and prosperity. The other 80%, or four-fifths of the world's population, will be human garbage, unable to produce new values. The people in attendance thought that this excess 80% population would be a trash population and high-tech means should be used to eliminate them gradually. Since the enemies are secretly planning to eliminate our population, we certainly cannot be infinitely merciful and compassionate to them. Comrade He Xin's article came out at the right time. It has proven the correctness of our tit-for-tat battle approach, and Comrade Deng Xiaoping's great foresight to deploy against the United States military strategy. Certainly, in spreading Comrade He Xin's views, we cannot publish the article in the party's newspaper in order to avoid raising the enemy's vigilance. He Xin's conversation may remind the enemy that we have grasped the modern science and technology, including clean nuclear technology, as well as biological weapons technology, and we can use powerful measures to eliminate their population on a large scale. Last problem I want to talk about is of firmly seizing the preparations for military battle. Currently, we are at a crossroads of moving forward or backward. Some comrades saw problems flooding everywhere in our country. The corruption problem, the state-owned enterprise problem, the bank's bad accounts problem, environmental problems, society security problems, education problems, the AIDS problem, various appeals problem, even the riots problem. These comrades vacillated in the determination to prepare for military battles. They thought they should first grab the political reform problem, that is, our own political reform comes first. After resolving the domestic problems, we can then deal with foreign military battle problems. This reminds me of the crucial period in 1948 in the Chinese Revolution. At that time, the People's Liberation Army horses were drinking water in the Yangtze River, but they faced extremely complex situations and difficult problems everywhere in the liberated areas, and the central authority received emergency reports daily. What to do? Should we stop to manage rear areas and internal matters first before moving forward, or press on to pass the Yangtze River with one vigorous effort? Chairman Mao, with his extraordinary wisdom and mettle, gave the marching order, carry on the revolution to the end, and liberated all of China. The previously thought serious conflicting problems were all reserved in this great forward-moving revolutionary wave. Now, it seems like we are in the same critical period as the quote-unquote horses were drinking water in the Yangtze River days in the revolutionary era. As long as we resolve the United States problem at one blow, our domestic problems will all be readily solved. Therefore, our military battle preparation appears to be to aim at Taiwan, but in fact is aimed at the United States and the preparation is far beyond the scope of attacking aircraft carriers or satellites. Marxism pointed out that violence is the midwife for the birth of China's century. As war approaches, I am full of hope for the next generation. And that concludes this translation of this speech. It's going to be made available at radiofreeredoubt.com. And I think it's something that's very important for us to all consider, digest, meditate on, and understand what our enemies are thinking, what their plans are for the United States. It's very clear in this other speech that we have. They made it very clear, first Taiwan, then the United States and Canada and Australia. They have to, and also in this speech, they specifically mention that those three countries were the only thing out there vast enough as far as living space to accommodate the necessary colonization of the Chinese people to move out of China and into those new colonies, which they believe they have the right to because they're racially superior and Chinese people actually discovered America first. So pretty wild. All right, we're going to bring Lady Liberty on for a brief segment right after this, and then we'll go ahead and close out. Was kind of pushed her out for finishing this General Haoshin speech up for important. So she's got some things we want to share with you, and so we're going to do a bonus segment 5. How's that sound? That works. All right, guys, stick around. We'll be right back. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt.
Greetings, Patriots. This is Chris Walsh, broker at Revolutionary Realty, located in the heart of America's Great Redoubt, Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. I sell land and backwoods cabins to America's Patriots every day. Creeks, springs, timber, and game, good survivable property without natural disasters. The state of Idaho has a balanced budget, and our people believe deeply in the Second Amendment. Call me today at 208-667-1776, or visit me online at www.revrealty.us. I'll be glad to serve you, and God bless America.
Hello, Christian Patriots. This is Lady Liberty from The Morning Commute announcing the release of my new book titled 444 that is a solid plan for what we as Christian Patriots can do to correct this terrible course that America is on right now. 444 gives us a biblical, peaceful, and constitutional method that does not require a central figure like a sitting president in order to be successful. This action is something that needs to be done in every community around the nation and is straightforward and simple to follow. Christians in America need a plan, and this is it. You can get your copy today by going to radiofreeredoubt.com and clicking on the link to 444 on the right side of the page. Thanks, everyone, and God bless.
Welcome back to bonus segment 5, because I used three full segments. Those are long. The General Haoshin, get all tongue-tied. It's just that, right? Hey, Lady Liberty.
It happens.
Yeah, no kidding. Interesting, the topic that you and I are going to be discussing here briefly in this bonus segment. I just got done going through a military chief strategist, General Che Haoshin's vision for the China's renaissance, for expanding outside of China, to get the people to expand outside of China a great war that's going to colonize the United States, Canada, and Australia. At the time, they were concerned about all of the Chinese people that are in America. Remember, this is 20 years ago, say 2003, 2005. And they're like, yeah, they're going to be a problem. We're going to have to deal with them, re-educate them. A lot's developed in the last 15 to 18 years. Now we've got Chinese spies, military intelligence officers, all through all of our institutions here in the United States.
Right.
Including our voting systems.
Right.
Manipulating our votes in China, Virginia, New China. And
no kidding. Yep. If they were going to rename it, that would be appropriate.
Right. So now we've got a puppet regime with China holding the strings. I don't think General Chi Haoshin could have imagined that that would have been possible. It was just not discussed. I think these are new strategies that have been developed since the early 2000s. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, you know, actually, it's hard to say because I'm pretty surprised at the stealth of China even sneaking up on the UN, who has been, boy, they have been working like full time on this since 1945.
Yeah.
I mean, just they have 1,200 major conferences per year, 1,200. Major conferences. That's
right.
The UN. And so those are all their organizing conferences and where they're like lining up stuff for 20 years from that date.
Right.
You know, so they can basically show up at that period and everything has already been fully written, fully organized. And all they have to do basically once that time frame shows up is drop the document that is going to change everything. Well, China has surpassed that. And the UN's even aware of that. So they are extremely stealthy and strategic. I'm surprised. I had not seen that coming from China. I never expected China to basically one up the UN.
Well, I think that they think everybody's out to get them, right? Check this out, what they keyed in on. And General Haoshin keyed in on this in his secret speech, which was actually smuggled out by some people and translated later. So one of his top guys, Comrade He Jin, pointed out the Hong Kong Business News during an interview that the U.S. has a shocking conspiracy. Listen to this. So the United States is behind this in their minds. In 1995... Mikhail Gorbachev, the foundation, funded by the United States, gathered 500 of the world's most important statesmen and their leaders. This is Tony Blair, Brzezinski, Baroness Thatcher, the U.S. not U.S. president at the time, but George W. Bush, George Soros, Bill Gates. All of these people were at this conference saying, we need to reduce the world's population, and about 80% of the world's population are basically garbage,
right.
Human garbage that must be gotten rid of. So that the Chinese went, whoa, that's us. We're garbage. 80% of China is garbage to these people.
Right.
And now you're right. They're soaped. They're sharp. They've been maneuvering for the last 20 years now.
Yeah.
To get into the United Nations where they have massive control now.
Yeah.
Which has shocked the UN.
In very, very strategic positions.
I think it shocked some people in the UN, but there are some people that are not, like Bill Gates.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's just as strategic and sneaky and conniving because he's been working with China. Microsoft's got massive plants in China now.
Yep.
I mean, for
yeah, he
at
pretty much picked
decade.
Up shop and moved everything right. to China. Yeah,
yep. Almost two yep. decades they've invested, not to mention all of the biological stuff that he's involved in.
I know.
You know,
that's right.
So this is diabolical.
Well, Gates was the number two funding entity, well, Microsoft and the Bill Gates, Melinda Gates Foundation was the number two supporter of the World Health Organization behind the United States.
That's right.
That's crazy. Wow. They were donating $250 million a year, only surpassed by what we were donating from the whole United States. And so to think that Bill Gates is pairing up with China and Soros is pairing up with China and has been, because there's different nations that want to prosecute him for crimes against humanity.
That's right.
Soros. And so the only place he is safe is in China. Mm-hmm. And so the interesting part is that pulling all of that information together from the Chi Hae Ocean speech, that gosh, we've went over that for the first time last year, mm-hmm. in fact, and described
at least
it
a year and a half ago.
Yep, in length. We described that thing in length. And it's still shocking to find out how deeply entrenched China is in America already. And they have been for quite some time. And what we're describing with the Sidney Powell information is coming out through the voter fraud aspect of it, right?
That's right.
And so we've got a clip here that Sidney Powell has posted on her website. In fact, she's posted the entire documentary for the inventor of the election fraud equipment, right? He wrote the programs to be able to flip these states. And the name of that whole documentary is called Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies. And we have a clip here that was taken out, and it's labeled on her website as The Spy. And this will kind of, what this kind of does is pulls the Chinese fraud, the Chinese voting fraud element into the current election, the current 2020 election that ousted the only president in the world that was standing up to China and beating them back.
That's right.
Right. And so to find out that China is behind all of this voter fraud and voter manipulation is outstanding. And here's the link, and Sidney Powell has exposed it. So here
is awesome.
Here's that clip.
Yep, got it queued up. Stand by.
Why didn't you leave the building with a copy of the source code to prove what had gone on?
Because it's a secured site. You don't do that. We have government contracts, and nothing is supposed to leave the building.
It is more difficult to get into the Yang offices than it is to get into a government office.
Really?
Yes. I was an employee of the Department of Transportation.
Florida Department of Transportation.
The Florida Department of Transportation. The department entered into a contract with Yang, I believe, in January of 99. I had known Mrs. Yang since approximately 94, 95.
They just seemed odd. Things were odd. You know, they had people sneaking up the back stairs, and they were downloading information from NASA that didn't seem like they should be doing that. You know, things like this.
They had a NASA contract, correct?
Yes.
And they have to have sort of top secret clearance to have this contract?
I would assume they must have some clearance, because, you know.
Did Feeney help them get that contract?
Don't know, but he has connections to NASA. His wife works there.
So you don't know if Feeney was instrumental in helping them get that particular contract. Okay, you said that they were downloading stuff from NASA software?
Yang Enterprises was bringing gigabytes of databases from NASA, and then they were handing it over to Henry Nee.
Who is Henry Nee?
Henry Nee was a little skinny Chinese guy that worked there, and he wasn't legal.
He was an illegal alien?
Mm-hmm.
Even while I was looking into the story, we then discovered the matter of Henry Nee.
They finally arrested him for sending missile chips to China.
Henry Nee was, in fact, arrested after a four-year sting last year on three counts of attempting to send Hellfire anti-tank missile chips to China.
And he admitted to doing it 20 times.
And he pled guilty to one of the charges and admitted it was a slow year. So they only did this 10 to 20 times. And when he was sentenced in October of 2004, he was sentenced to 3 years probation and a $100 fine.
Pretty weak, huh? He seems to think he's pretty much promised a green card as soon as he's done with his probation.
To this day, Mrs. Yang, I understand, says that Henry Nee never worked at Yang Enterprises, Inc.
It's one of the reasons you can prove that he was working on the project was the fact that they actually billed for him.
They're sending timesheets to you saying, here's who worked on what and how many hours they worked and so forth.
Correct.
One of them was Clint Curtis.
One of them was Clint Curtis.
One of them was Henry Nee.
One of them was Henry Nee.
She was regularly shipping information off to her brother in China.
She, Mrs. Yang, Mrs. the Yang. CEO. Okay. Right. Who was her brother in China?
Her brother, according to her, she got drunk one time and she was happy. And she was telling me about her brother had been thrown out of the country for spying. Of course, she said he didn't do it. But he'd been tossed for spying, and then she's doing all this correspondence. She said it was video games, and I asked her, should you really be shipping all this stuff to your brother since we have NASA contracts and the government thinks he's a spy?
Astounding.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. Yeah. That Yang Enterprises, Inc. out of Florida started this whole thing to be able to flip that vote for George Bush. And they're using source code.
Was it George Bush or Jeb Bush?
No, it was her. It was George Bush.
That's right.
And so Mrs. Yang, the head of Yang Enterprises, who is the sister to a Chinese spy that had already been kicked out of the United States, right?
Right.
And so here she is with contracts involved in NASA, and then she keeps sending all of these very, very important documents and files to her brother in China, right?
Something to do with video games.
Yeah. Video games. And so they create a manipulatable voting machine,
right,
that is not detectable. It's open source code that is still out in the open, but the guy that, well, Clint Curtis, the computer programmer that designed it, he figured out a way to make it invisible even though it's exposed, and one person can just zip right in there. It's not just any person, it's the person,
right,
can go in to vote, and it looks like he's just voting, and you know, he'll take something like 14,000 votes and turn it into 30,000 votes just by the touch of a button that nobody can see, right?
Right, only
and
he
so,
knows.
Right, so that's just that's very clever, but unfortunate because they've been around since the year 2000 now.
Yeah,
and so here's this Chinese firm, heavily tied to Chinese spies. They even had a current Chinese spy employed, right?
And, that's right.
And he was on the payroll, and so the fact that the Chinese were involved in election fraud way back in 2000,
right,
you can just imagine the foothold and how familiar and comfortable they were with election fraud by the 2020 election, right?
Yep.
And also in flipping certain candidates to make sure that they got in to key positions,
right,
that would assist the Communist Party. And then we've got all the Maoists funding the flipping of Virginia,
yeah,
from a Republican state to a Democrat / communist state, right? That happened just last year. And so the fact that they did that in order to also make sure Trump didn't get back into presidency with this last election. Mm-hmm. And so then, I mean, it just ties it all together. I had no idea how entrenched the Chinese were in the voter fraud in America.
And how much control, we may never know the amount of control that the Chinese Communist Party has over the Biden regime.
Right.
We've seen, when you go back to this guy, this Mr. Han, whatever he was, the illegal immigrant from China.
Oh, Henry Ni.
Henry Ni.
Yeah.
He gets busted selling or attempting to sell these chips for our
missiles.
TOW missile systems, yeah, right, to China. He gets busted, arrested. He gets 3 years probation.
Probation.
And
didn't
$100
even go to jail.
Fine.
Yep, that's right.
Who's the judge? I mean, where's all the other corrupted people that should be swinging on a rope?
Right.
Exactly. As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You know, and so Trump did so much work rooting out anytime they discovered somebody from China who was in one of our universities,
yep,
or a position in our government or anything here, where they discovered that they had ties to
the Communist Party,
the Communist military,
yep,
or their intelligence agencies,
yep,
which most of them are. They're all intelligence operatives. When they find out, they deport them. Well, as soon as the Biden regime gets in, they put the brakes on all those deportations.
Right.
You know, to keep all those Chinese spies here. So it is just absolute corruption.
Well,
and treason.
And the the fact
to the
that,
highest degree.
The fact that we know that this election was stolen and funded by the Chinese Communist Party, and the fact that now the whole the nation and the whole world, for that matter, is inundated with their bioweapon, this Wuhan virus,
right,
and the death and maiming vaccine that's the real hammer behind the whole thing, right?
Yeah.
And so that all has come from China. At the same time, all of their beautifully orchestrated, if I dare say beautifully, I'm sorry, but anybody that can surpass and outdo the UN at their own game, wow. Not that I have any real
love,
affection or affinity for the Chinese, let's put
right.
it that way. Still, they had orchestrated and pulled together the entire Belt and Roads Initiative across the globe. So that,
yeah.
I mean, the whole globe, so that it has everything all in place, all at the right time.
Yep.
That's outstanding strategy.
That's diabolical.
Right there. I mean, yeah, exactly.
It's demonic. I mean, it's satanic to have that, I mean, to orchestrate and to successfully implement all of the massively complex components
right.
of that
yep.
to get the buy-in on such a global scale, to get manipulated so many people to, oh my gosh, it's brilliant.
It is. And like you said, that's demonic. That is definitely satanic because biblically it says that the end times, the last 7 years, the tribulation is going to be worse than anything else in human history. And
right.
and just like what you read there with the Chi Hei Ocean speech, that's exactly how they plan to outdo the Nazis, is by being more brutal than them.
More ruthless.
They yep. said the Nazis didn't win because they weren't brutal and ruthless enough.
Yep. They had too much humanity because of their Christian roots.
Yep.
It's, you know, hey, we're atheists. So we worship the party, the Communist Party, and that's why we're going to win. That's why we're superior. That's what they think.
Well, thank goodness that they're unaware that their, you know, their little two-dimensional thinking of, you know,
right.
we're on top, right? Well, if you
yeah,
add
how can you be so smart and so stupid?
Right. right. exactly. God's, you know, they may end up controlling the world and creating this one world government that they are in charge of and not the UN, right?
Right.
But God just looks at that as like child's play. He goes,
yep.
oh, no. I've got you surrounded without even blinking.
Cute little house you made out of all those dominoes. Now smash.
That's right.
That's basically what it's going
to
be.
They are no contest to the Lord
nope.
ever would be. So, yeah.
He just lets out enough rope to make them think that they really are in charge of something, right?
Well, he sends a strong delusion.
Yeah.
You know, it's the people that have decided which side of the fence that they're going to be on. And communists have decided, you know, obviously, to dethrone God. And that is taking Satan's exact stance. And what a dangerous
right.
stance to take.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Ooh.
Well, we know how it's going to end for him.
It's the losing side.
Yep, exactly.
For sure. Well, thank you for sharing that with us. This is really good stuff. And we'll kick this out on the morning commute as well. And if you haven't listened to last week's morning commute, that's like two or three of them, we've played small segments, audio clips from this video series that Sidney Powell has posted over at her website.
That's right. The entire documentary about Clint Curtis, who was paid and told to design the voter fraud systems. And again, it's called Murder, Spies, and Voting Lies. And it's outstanding information. And Sidney Powell's interview with WVW-TV absolutely just phenomenal in information content. And
yep.
you can find all of that at her website, which is defendingtherepublic.org. So just go and hit that website and spend some time there. She's got everything that's the important thing is she's got everything that is critical to, you know, everything that's like the smoking gun showing what is important right now.
Right.
And she's got all the evidence for it right on her website. So every single issue that we're having are all symptoms of the primary basic foundational cause, which is this voting fraud, the ability of an individual or a small group of individuals to flip votes in state elections, in county elections, in national elections.
Yeah.
That right there is the single most important issue we can face, because it is the one that is allowing all of this other corruption.
We can't stop fascism. We can't seal the border. We can't
prevent gun control.
All of this, just absolute totalitarianism and the destruction of our economy, the loss of energy independence. I mean, just
the loss of freedoms, the loss of rights, the Constitution, traditional America. Everything.
The disruption of our supply chains.
Yep. Everything is based on voter fraud, yeah, and voter manipulation. If we solve that, I mean, that is the very base level problem.
Right.
All the other problems that we're seeing right now stem from that single thing. And so pointing that out to everybody, we're seeing that people aren't getting it. They're still looking at all the symptoms of the cause when right. the cause is voter control, voter manipulation.
Yeah. Election fraud.
Election
in
fraud.
In general.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're starting to see a lot of these social media warriors put out, really pushing hard to get out the vote thing. Everybody needs to get out and vote in November.
Yeah.
It's, you know, we got to really turn this thing
That's
around.
That's right. We're going to do harder. It this time.
You guys need to vote way harder than you did when Trump was running for president.
That's right. Drag your neighbors out. Do it all.
That's right. Vote even harder. I mean, you didn't mean it enough. You know, so record turnout, 80 to 85 million votes for Trump.
Right. Yep.
And now we get a commie in there. This is a drooling commie.
Yep.
Stick man.
Yeah, exactly. So. And so anybody that's what Joseph Stalin always said, you know, it's not he who votes that counts, it's he who counts the votes.
Yep.
Or he who can flip the final total, right?
Exactly.
With a push of a button. And that's what Clint Curtis is describing in all of this documentary.
Right, right. Unlike our treasonous Congress, who said we just can't get bogged. We need to move on with government business. We're just going to go ahead and certify this false election.
Yep.
Because we need to move on. We have government business to get to.
Well, yeah, they are
traitors.
All the communists that are padding all of our governmental positions illegally right now.
Yep.
They are those. Everybody in Congress, the Senate, the House, the judiciary, everybody there that has been voted in through election fraud is there on purpose. They're now padding the entire communist supporting agenda, and it's no mistake that they're all communist supporters.
That's right.
It's all because of this voter election fraud.
Exactly. All right, well, good stuff. Thank you, Lady Liberty. And now we'll be unwrapping a lot of this throughout the week, I'm sure, for the morning commute. So,
yep, we sure are.
All right, well, thank you. Good night, and good night to all of you. Thank you guys for tuning in. This is one of the longest shows that I've done, maybe the longest show, 2.5 hours, but roughly. And there's just a lot of stuff to cover that we wanted to squeeze in here. So, and you got a bonus. Segment 5 with Lady Liberty. So you guys are just so blessed. All right. Okay. This is the Voice of the American Redoubt. You guys have a blessed, safe week. Keep your powder dry, your head on a swivel, and keep your Bible open. Dust that thing off and spend time in the Word. All right. This is Radio Free Redoubt. I'm John Jacob Schmidt. Good night.